Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who doesn't have 20/20 vision, even in hindsight, Pete Schwabba.
Hello, Wisconsin. Good evening and welcome to Nightlight. Broadcasting, coming to you from our Madison studios tonight. We'll be here for the next couple nights, broadcasting statewide. And talking about all things show business and pop culture and comedy. Here to lighten the load after a long day. Great to have you with me. Thanks for tuning in as always. Hoping we can make this a connective, fun discussion like we always do. Sitting in the producer's chair tonight, I'm very excited to be back with the very talented Luke Mathers.
How you doing, Pete?
I'm doing well.
Thrilled to have you down here in Madison visiting us.
It's great to be here, and I know I'm probably keeping you from your wife and home and dinner and all that kind of stuff, but I appreciate you sticking around. So
I'm an early bird nowadays, but once upon a time, I used to be a night owl. So
is that right?
It gets me back to those old habits.
When were you a night owl? Like college?
Throughout college, yeah. A little bit after college, too. It was never... Mornings were never fun for me, but... coffee addiction, you know, helps you get through them. So.
It certainly does. It's weird. I'm one of those people. I'm kind of a night owl and a morning person, which is not conducive to...
It's not. Unless you work third shift, then you get the best of both worlds, right?
Yeah, see the sun set and the sunrise. That's right.
You could get your schedule set up. So, you know, you're just waking up and then jumping on the airwaves.
It's like a morning show.
Right. You treat it as a morning show. Night show for everybody else.
It's the Wacky Morning Zoo with Peach Mamba. No, it's true, though. I love the night and I love getting up early in the morning, but I've adjusted my hours with this show because I commute to Green Bay and I don't get home till like 10, 10:30, whatever. And then it's like I got to unwind and watch 7 hours of TV.
You gotta stream all those different services. It's a pain in the butt. You gotta find out which show is where. Yeah,
it's terrible.
It's not easy.
I'll watch like one YouTube video that's 8 minutes, and then 40 of those later, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's awful.
You'd be better off binging the series of something.
I would.
Rather than that, yeah,
I absolutely would. So it's great to be back here, though. Seriously, Luke, it's always fun to work with you, and looking forward to doing a great show here. We've got a lot lined up. Lots of stuff going on. There's bad weather out there too, folks. I know all around the state we're experiencing potential severe weather. I think some actual severe weather, if I'm not mistaken, in Spring Green right now.
Yeah, Spring Green all the way up to Eau Claire. The western portion of the state is already experiencing it, and we've got eyes on not necessarily on the ground, but we're monitoring the weather as it's coming in.
Yeah, we'll keep you guys posted. But so far here in Madison, it's pretty nice, and I think it's raining up north, but we'll keep you posted. Anything we find out, we'll relay to you, our loyal listeners. And got a really fun show tonight. It's always fun to have other civic media personalities on the show. And tonight, Maggie Dawn will join me. She is the host of the Maggie Dawn Show, the one and only. She'll be here at 7:35, and we'll talk about her new show and how that's going and what her life is like. Corey Hartman might check in with a weather update. As I mentioned, he is a weather expert and could join the show at any time if we learn something. And then last week on Thursday, I had a producer named John Davies, who he used to work for the Siskel and Ebert show. That's how he got his start in show business, was being an associate producer on Siskel and Ebert. And he went on to do many other things. And we talked last Thursday night about some of the things he was working on. We only got to about half my questions. And he did this great documentary called Funny Business. And it's spelled P-H-U-N-N-Y Business, Funny Business. And I was really bummed out that I didn't get to talk to John about that documentary. So I invited him back on the show tonight. And we'll do a part two interview with John. It was a great documentary about the first all black comedy club in Chicago called All Jokes Aside. I remember that well when I was starting out doing stand up in Chicago, and we'll talk to John about that. His documentary is really, really sound. And then I got to get this out there too, because last night we had so much text activity, I almost didn't get to all of them. So tonight I was listening. There's two things that got me to this. I play a lot of video poker. Luke, do you play video poker?
No, I play a few video card games, but not video poker really. I don't want to lose any money to even just the computer.
Right. I use counterfeit. So it's no skin off my, you know what. No, I don't play for money. I have an app, and here's what baffles me. I play Texas Hold'em, and they give you, like, you know, 200 chips to start. And you can buy chip packages. You can buy fake money. I can't wrap my head around
that. That's how they get you.
That's
how they get you.
But I've never paid for a chip, and I never would. I've been up to almost 200 billion chips, and I've gone back down to zero.
Where do you put them all?
My pockets.
Okay. This is some deep pockets imaginary. You got, my friend, Mr. Schwabo.
I wear big pants. But it's crazy, though. And the problem is that lets people play like idiots because they're just going to buy more chips. Whereas I'll play like an idiot, but I know I'm going to go back to zero and work my way up. I find that to be kind of challenging. Anyway, I lost two video poker games last night by, like, literally I lost to a better full house and a better flush. So I was out, and I was so furious, and I was mad at myself for getting that mad.
Yeah.
So then I got here tonight. I was looking for a fun question, and Luke told me about Matt Nair, Jane, and Greg talking about Wisconsin card games.
Yeah, they had a story about a euchre tournament that took place in New Glarus over the weekend, and 500 people showed up.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
Can you play that for I've never played euchre.
You've never played euchre?
I've never played euchre. I've never played cribbage. And I've never played, much to the dismay of my wife's family, they call it sheep head, I think. You call it sheep's head.
I've always referred to it as the plural. It's sheep's head.
Whatever term you want to use for said head, I have not played that game. And I feel like I'm missing out, but I'm also kind of at the age like I just don't want to learn something. But
that's fair.
But you're pretty good at it, huh?
I love all Wisconsin card games. I'm trying to think of when my dad first taught me to play cribbage, because it was very early on. My mom, she'll play, but only begrudgingly. So my dad, having four children, was like, well, I'll always have a partner if I can teach the kids and get them to play. And so my sister learned first. She's a couple years older than me. And so for a really long time, it was dad and Megan's game together. Okay. So it was a father-daughter thing. I didn't want to
approach.
I was like, I don't know what's going on here. They keep saying these different numbers back and forth. They're moving the pegs around the board. I don't quite get it. But then eventually my dad was like, all right, we'll teach you how to play. I couldn't have been much older than 12. I think maybe 10 to 12 years old is when I probably first started playing. And you can play three-handed, which in my own opinion is not the best way to play. It's not
usually
as much fun.
Head-to-head?
Head-to-head or playing teams, so two people against two people. You can play four easy. The three kind of just it feeds in a weird dynamic. And so it's just harder to play. You can play four-handed either teams or just four people. But my sister, my dad, and I would play. And then, lo and behold, when the two middle children were playing, my older brother got interested into it. And then by that time, my little brother was in too. So all four of us play with my dad. My mom will play from time to time. She's like, I don't like the math, because you have to count off of each other as you're going back and forth. So cribbage was the first one. Then my brother went to college. He learned euchre at college. Immediately came back and was like, I want to play euchre on spring break or whatever holiday break it was from school. And me being the little brother, I was like, I'll learn how to play. And it's more of a drinking kind of wager you got to try to get. So I can understand it was a college game, but I picked that one up quick, started playing that with a lot of my friends. And then my grandparents always played sheep's head. So layered into all of that, we would go to the old folks' home, play sheep's head. And it's a callous family tradition. So anytime there's five of us or more, we'll play that one. And that's my mom's preferred game. So when you can't get her to, you can't convince her to play cribbage, you can convince her to play sheep's head if you got enough people.
Why are those games, I know you said they're Wisconsin games, but do they not play them elsewhere? Or are they just started here? Or
I don't know what I love the history of it. I don't know what all of the intricacies of why, but I know that depending on where you are in the state, sheep set is very prevalent or not prevalent at all.
Right.
Euchre, I think that one is a little bit more widespread. I think that's a Midwestern. You can meet people in Michigan.
I think you're right about that.
That play and stuff like that. But cribbage has a very Wisconsin connection, and I don't know what truly makes it that, but it's one of my favorite games to play. Whereas my friends, when we're out and about, we'll be camping or something for the weekend, and I'm the first one to always go, cards? Does anybody want to play cards? And they'll kind of like moan and just be like, no, not another game of cribbage, Luke. We're not playing. We're done. We're done
Luke,
playing cards.
We don't want to play strip poker again. Stop.
No, it's just... Typically stick to those three. Yeah. Yeah.
That's all right. So that's our question tonight is what is your favorite card game? You can weigh in. It could be a Wisconsin game, like the ones Luke just gave an example of, or it can be something broader, poker, crazy eights, go fit, whatever you like to play with your family, your friends, whatever. And you mentioned golf, Luke.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
My wife taught me that one when we first got married. And I'm sorry to say that as newlyweds, we spent a lot of time playing golf, which is not what you hear a lot about when people first get married. No, I love that game. And
it's a good one.
It's a really good one.
Easy to learn. Easy to pick up. We got Tom in New Berlin texting in, listening on WAUK, already saying, Luke, my mother taught me cribbage at 5 years old to learn counting.
Gosh.
That is an early. I did not learn it that early, but I learned it at an early age.
Tom is now a mob accountant. He learned very young. Tom, that's great. That's pretty cool. So, Tom, is that your favorite card game? That's the question. That is pretty cool that your mom taught you at a young age. But let us know. I assume maybe that is your favorite card game. What's your favorite card
game? I was
saying,
if you've been playing it for that long, I feel like that's going to be up there.
855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. What is your favorite card game? Lots of cool stuff happening today. I hear the music. Okay. All right, Maggie Dawn.
We're getting close.
Maggie Dawn's going to be here at 7:35. Producer John Davies will be here at 8:20. And as I mentioned, folks, we'll keep you in tune with the weather throughout the state, wherever you are. We'll keep you posted. Corey Hartman is on it, and we might hear from Corey at some point during the show. And if we do, we'll let you know. I want to talk about next. I got to tell you this, Luke, a really cool thing Paul McCartney did. I think I teased this first segment last night, never got to it. So I know people like, I'm sure they're waiting. Oh, boy. Oh.
See? And we're going to have some of those weather alerts.
All right. We'll come back. We'll find out what we know, and we'll let you know. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. I mean, it's one of the most beautiful songs ever, and he has a beautiful name that I cannot pronounce. So I'm gonna, you know, you did this to me, Luke, on purpose, so you can say the name. Israel
Kamakawiole, I believe, but don't quote me on it.
Let the music be his name. It's so beautiful. That's a great tune. Hey, Nightlight with Pete Schwabe is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out their webpage, MinocquaBrewingCompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer and join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room at 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin. We're going to be doing a remote out there at some point next month. I'll keep you guys posted on that. The last one was our first one, and it was really fun. We just got an emergency alert. Tornado warning. If you see tornadoes, folks, head to your basement. We're not seeing it here on State Street. There's a little wind in the trees, but I don't know exactly where this warning was.
Well, tornado warning just means when there's been some talk about this, and a lot of people say I did not know this either, but the tornado warning means that there is all of the ingredients, I believe, available. Yeah, and now I got to double check because the difference between tornado warning.
Yeah,
and tornado watch are very interesting that I did not know, but we've got a ton of weather folks on the Civic Media team that are very much in the know, and they stay up to date with these things. They're storm trackers. They do this professionally. And so the tornado watch is when you have all of the ingredients available for a tornado. Tornado warning, which is what we just received, means that there are potential sightings of tornadoes out there.
You know, I was probably 2014, I was down here doing some work for another gig I have. I was at the concourse, and they called everyone down to the lobby. I had my son with me, who was about, I don't know, 12 at the time. And we went down to the lobby. Not everybody did, but most people took it seriously. And we saw these little whirling dervishes, they're called, or whatever, in the air. That was really freaky. And I guess in a city like Madison that's more populated, they don't have anywhere to land, really. But that's probably what you're talking about. Like, those could... And you should listen to me, folks, because I've been in entertainment my whole life. And I really know what I'm talking about when it comes listen to me. It's a whirling dervish. Luke, look out! There is some garbage blowing around in the street, though. That's a little weird, but no one seems to be panicking.
Well, thankfully, as we can kind of see outdoors downtown, it looks like most people are taking shelter.
That's true.
So taking. Well, now we got some ladies walking down the street. Never mind.
It is happy hour. I mean, let's get our priorities.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But if you can, take shelter.
Yeah, just be safe.
Serious. Be safe. Stay tuned to Civic Media. We'll continue to provide weather updates throughout the live programming this evening, and we will break into any programming as well throughout the evening with updates.
That sounds like a plan, and we will absolutely do that. Our question tonight is, what is your favorite card game? Pretty straightforward. You can pick a Wisconsin game like we just discussed. Luke mentioned cribbage, sheep or sheep's head, and euchre, or just a more general game. Mine is definitely Hold'em. I love to play Texas Hold'em. I like the game of golf when it comes to cards. 414 Tom says, this is great, Luke. He said four-handed cribbage is the best, like euchre, but sheep head, he says sheep's head too. He put the plural on there, so I'm going to go with, I'll defer to you on all things cards tonight, Luke, as we progress. Luke, my mother said, oh yeah, we already read that one. Okay, Tom says ooze rock. I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
But we'll decipher it at some point. I do like poker. I got to tell you this, Luke, I thought this was really cool. I read this, Paul McCartney. It's a great story about him. When John Lennon met Yoko, not only did she end the Beatles, supposedly, you know, he left his wife for her, his wife Cynthia. And I don't know, I don't have all the details straight, but apparently he gave her some money, but it wasn't enough. So she ended up selling, Cynthia Lennon ended up selling, I think they had Sean Lennon or Julian. She sold all the letters, the love letters he wrote her through high school and college or whatever, put them up for auction. And sold them for the money because she needed the money. Well, shortly after, the letters were returned, and apparently Paul McCartney bought them just to give her the money. And then he sent her a message that says, never sell your memories.
Wow.
So I was like blown away. That is the second cool Paul McCartney story I've heard. When I was living in LA, I had a friend who was walking his son through an area called Runyon Canyon, where a lot of people hike. They came across Paul McCartney, who was with his wife at the time. I can't remember her name. She's the one that was... Anyway, they were walking. Paul McCartney stopped, and they talked. And the dad, my friend, said, my son's favorite song is Yellow Submarine. And we listened to it all the time when he goes to bed. So Paul McCartney bends down, gets at face level with the kid, and starts singing Yellow Submarine. Right to the kid in person. That's it's like wild. One of the coolest things I've ever heard in my life. I don't love Paul McCartney's music after he left the Beatles, but I got to say I love Paul McCartney. I think those are two really cool stories.
Yeah. Look at you having a great Beatles story. Paul McCartney story.
I'm not even and it's just like one's through a friend and the other one's Facebook.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of tangential connections, Luke. I don't know.
There you go.
Knocking people's socks with all night.
Great for dinner parties, though, right?
That's right. Oh, I spring them out. Whenever I think it's time to go home, I'll start with the McCartney stories, and then they'll show me the door. At this other thing, I do these Hollywood beats, and I thought this was funny. Matthew McConaughey and his wife have their own tequila, and they took off their pants to try to sell it. They have little ads where they're playing pickleball pantless. The latest one is they're playing croquet pantless, and it's to call attention to tequila somehow. But that's the McConaughey's. Matthew McConaughey does not need an excuse to take his clothes off.
I feel like he was always known for kind of not wearing the shirt, though. And so it's interesting that it's a pantsless thing rather than a shirtless thing, because I feel like he had such a good repertoire to be able to build upon.
Yeah. I mean, why wear clothes at all at this point if you're Matthew McConaughey? Like, you're still in shape.
You just drive your Lincoln wherever you're going and
talk to yourself in that hypnotic tone that nobody knows what the heck you're talking about. I drove down here today. I've been so observant in the road. When I did stand up, I used to drive all the time. Now I drive back and forth to Green Bay. Today I was driving to Madison, and this is how I know I'm really immature still, Luke. I come up behind this truck and it says Super Duty on the back. And all I can think of is, why would you put the word duty on a truck?
That's the only thing you can think of?
You're trying to look masculine. It's a truck.
Wait, was it a sticker that somebody else put on? It's the name of the truck?
That's the model. Super Duty. Ford Super Duty.
Okay.
And I mean, you know, if I was in eighth grade, I'd say, yeah, I take a Super Duty every once in a while. But I'm not. I'm a mature, grown man.
Right, you're grown. You would never say anything like that. No. Never say anything like that now.
I still don't know why you'd put that on a truck. It's ridiculous. So, anyway, text us. Let us know what your favorite, let us know what your favorite card game is. That's our question tonight here on Nightlight. Live from Madison, by the way, broadcasting statewide. Great to have you with us. What is your favorite card game? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We will read your text on the air at 820. John Davies is here. John is a producer. We will continue our interview from last week, and he'll talk about a really cool documentary he did. We will keep you posted on the weather. I will say it's gotten a little darker outside. So anyway, we will be right back with Maggie Dawn. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are back. That is the great Pete Townsend. Oh, I think turned 81 this week. Really? You can never get enough of that song. I think so.
Really?
Does that seem young or old?
It seems old, but I don't know.
I just made it up. I usually write down the name, the age, and I'm just totally guessing.
You just fake it till you make it.
He's still a better guitar player than me, though.
Oh, I'm sure. He could be 110.
Thanks a lot, Luke. You really know how to make a guy feel
better than
good.
Me. I was in agreement with you, Pete.
We are broadcasting live, having fun here in Madison for the next couple nights. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night. We have a caller who wants to address our question of the night, which is, what is your favorite card game? So please feel free to join the discussion, folks, about cards or anything we're talking about. Let's go to that call now.
We got Dave and Abrams calling in.
Hey, Dave. You there, Dave?
I am here, Dave from Abrams. Hey.
Welcome, Dave.
Thanks. You know, I grew up in a unique situation because both sides of the family love to play cards
other
games. But we'd get together at Grandpa's house noon on a Sunday, and there'd be a buffet of food. There'd be joke telling and all kinds of fun stuff going on. But cards would be flying usually, too.
That is so cool. That sounds like now, I don't know if that's a Wisconsin card game you're talking about, but that sounds like a good Wisconsin get-together. Some food, some cards. What game would you play, Dave? Yeah.
I was just going to say, it depends on how many people you're at. If you're at two, gin rummy or cribbage or the go-tos. If you're at three or four people, we would usually play pinochle at three or four people, sometimes hearts. Those are my favorites. And I got to say, at five, you're in sheepset territory, and you know, or beyond that, you're at poker. So you know, it just depends. I mean, and I got to get an honorable mention for hearts. My aunt would love to play hearts because that was her favorite game. So, and I got to say one more thing. My wife's favorite game whenever we get together is you got to look this up. The Mexican train game, and it's a dominoes game. So you get out the dominoes, and the kids loved it too because, you know, they're playing with the dominoes. So that's any age. But, man, get together with your family, have fun, and, you know, bring a side dish and get together. People need to do that more, you know, rather than the little phone games and the tablet games. You know, think about family and the times that you can have telling stories and getting together with family and friends and having a good time. To me, that it's my best memories are those days, those Sundays, for sure.
Dave, that's very well said, and it sounds like a really fun house. That's a great call. Thanks for lifting all of our spirits here as we're about to get hit with a tornado, possibly. So it's nice to hear such good thoughts. Thank you, buddy. That was Dave from Abrams. When I think of Abrams, I think of the junction where I turn off, and I picture Dave living right at the V. Okay. That's all
well, you
I
heard
think
him,
about.
Pete, you got to put away the virtual poker now.
I know.
You got to put down the tablet.
I do think those phone games and tablet games are fun, too, though. Like, I'm totally blanking on what they call them now, those games everybody sits around with their tablet, and it's up on the TV screen.
Oh, and like the trivia things where you chime in, and everybody's kind of got like a keypad.
And it's... Drawful is one of them. You draw pictures on the screen, and you got to guess who drew what. Yeah, and the kids all draw dirty pictures, and I don't know if I should yell at them in front of the grandparents. It's a lot of fun. Hey, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest to Nightlight. I've been trying to have her on the show for a while, but she's been busy with the launch of her own show and a legal career and all kinds of stuff she has going on. But she joins us now on the stream, Maggie Dawn. Hey, Maggie.
Hey, Pete. So happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. How are you tonight? I know you said your Brewers lost. I'm sorry to hear that.
They haven't lost. They're just down 5-4 in the top of the seventh. Don't worry. I have game day on my phone from the MLB app right in front of me, so I can, you know, keep the listeners apprised of the score.
Wow, you are serious. We are keeping the listeners apprised of a lot of things tonight: baseball games and tornadoes. It looks beautiful where you though are. Whatever that background you have is working for you. It looks very serene.
It's my faux downtown Milwaukee evening background.
It's beautiful. I want to tell you something, Maggie. This was kind of when I was driving down here today, I was thinking about when we would talk, and I put voice text into my phone, and your name, when I speak, Maggie Dawn, comes up Megalodon. So
uh-oh.
I don't know what to do with that, but I think it's really cool because those are like one of my favorite prehistoric animals. And
I've been called worse things, Pete. So let's go with Megalodon. I'm totally cool with
that. You could do a lot worse than a shark type nickname, you know, like or a pit bull or someone tough. You know, I think you kind of have that tough reputation anyway. So,
well, I try to be, you know, nice, but also tough.
Tough, but
I'll
fair.
I'll take Megalodon. Yes, tough, but fair.
So tell us what, before we jump into the Maggie Dawn show, how did you end up where you are? You're a lawyer, and then you ended up on the radio. I'm always kind of fascinated where people's paths take them. And so many people I talk to never expected to be where they are. How did you end up here, and is this kind of where you saw yourself?
Absolutely not. If you would have asked me even, I think, 4 years ago, if I would be on the radio, I would have said, well, of course not. What are you talking about? But I was an economist first. I went to graduate school for mathematical economics and really loved it. Thought maybe I'll go get a PhD, but had always been bitten by the politics bug. And as things came together in my little 20-something-ish mind, I thought, well, I've got the minor in poli sci. I'm doing the econ thing. I had better go to law school and then I'll have the old third leg of the stool. So off I went. Decided I wanted to try to swim with the sharks in New York and went and was a Wall Street lawyer for a number of years, worked abroad in Hong Kong and in Shanghai, came back, spent some time on the left coast in Chicago, and kind of had the aha moment when I was in my early 30s and thought, I've been doing this a while. I'm burning out. And maybe I'll go use my superpowers for good instead of working for huge banks. And kind of chucked it. People I knew, friends and family, thought I was nuts. I had no idea what I was going to do next, but knew I didn't want to work 80-hour weeks anymore to help billionaire grossing banks keep more of their billions. And took a little time off. Did a lot of camping. Did a little traveling.
Wow.
And thought, I'll go work in the public sector and become a public servant. And so I was fortunate enough to get a job with the city attorney's office in Milwaukee. I ended up running one of their retirement plans, rebuilt that sucker from the ground up. And then I got a call from then county executive Chris Abley. Did that have been doing that since I started full time with Civic Media. But probably the thing that got me involved in the radio was in 2018, on behalf of Milwaukee County, I sued the opioid manufacturers and distributors and really led a group of municipalities from across the country in doing that. And Milwaukee County, I'm happy to report, has to date netted over $175 million, which is the largest recovery ever by a local government in state history. And we've got harm reducing vending machines across the county, and we're saving lives. It's the only time in my entire career where I could honestly say my work helped is helping to save lives. And your friend and my colleague and my friend as well, here on Civic Media, Earl Ingram, put me on his radio show once. And then he had me scheduled for a segment. I ended up staying for an hour. And then here we are.
Wow, that's pretty cool. That's a great path. And
it's not really the quick version. It's about as quickly as I can do it while still hitting all the essential components.
I think it's great. And we've had that issue up in the Marinette area with the opioids. And it's the sad thing is you see the next generation and how they are affected by what their parents went through. And it affects teachers and schools and the whole community. I mean, good for you.
As an economist, you know, I thought a lot about how would you ever model the damages. And most economists agree that the damage from what I consider to be criminal wrongdoing by Purdue Pharma and many of the other corporations involved here is far higher than big tobacco because people didn't drop dead immediately from smoking, right? And so from a true calculating the damages and the impact on kids and families, communities, it's far, far higher than the tobacco epidemic and scandal.
So, all right. So for people, I think most people know who you are. They know about your show. But for those of my listeners that might not, what can they expect to hear on the Maggie Dawn Show? What would you tell them about it?
Well, you'll hear a lot of my opinions. That's one thing. I really try to help people understand some of the through lines between the headlines.
Okay. Nice.
I think, you know, news gives us these punchy things, these kind of clickbait. And wait a minute, why does this matter to me? How does all of this come together? That's a lot of what I try to do. And I can get a little turnt up, as the kids say. I've got some intensity on
issues. I hope so.
But I love talking to people who disagree. I think that's where ideas get better, including my own. And absolutely. So my favorite part is when I've got a caller and we've got a difference of opinion and we're trying to sort it out. One of the things I often say is it's better when we stand together, when we do this together, when we're trying to learn from one another. And that's, I can feel it happen sometimes on the radio, and that's amazing.
That's magic. Do you get that a lot off the air, Maggie? Do people find you or recognize you and want to talk about these issues with you in your real life, in your Maggie time?
Yeah, I have never wanted for someone to converse with. I also can talk to a wall, but usually I'll find somebody who's interested in what's going on. I think these are really historic and interesting times we live in. And I love talking to people about why the stuff they see on the news matters to them. And I feel like in my own way, I hopefully bring a different perspective, and I've done a lot of different stuff in my life. And, you know, yeah, we should talk about politics at the bar. Yeah, we should talk about it at the dinner table too. And like normalize disagreement, right? Productive disagreement would be really nice to get back to.
It's funny you say that because in my family, we all sort of believe the same things. But the second we sit down at the dinner table, we somehow find things to argue about. And that's fun too, you know? It's like a safety net, sort of.
Well, Pete, I'm certain my dad's listening and he is laughing his butt off right now because in general, myself and my family, we're very value aligned, but we will find the thing to argue about. Make no mistake.
Exactly. And I've got a lot of lawyers in my family too. So it's good practice.
Oh gosh. I'm so sorry, Pete. Oi.
So I have no doubt that becoming, being on the radio, your legal career has helped you as a radio host. Has your radio hosting, do you see a way that would help your lawyering, so to speak?
Of course, I think no matter what you do, unless you program all day long, and even then I think this applies, it's can you communicate with someone else? Lawyering and radio, that's a lot of oral communication and a lot of reading and preparation for those things. But I think every single profession, even if you're somebody who builds stuff, you still have to figure out what needs to be built. You have to speak the same language. You have to figure out how to communicate, whether that's blueprints or whether it's code, right? My stock and trade for my entire life, again, no surprise to my parents or any of my elementary school teachers, is words and talking. I definitely think I'm a better lawyer because I've been on the radio. And I think certainly being a lawyer and having to make arguments in court and think about how to present complex ideas in a way that's accessible to a non-expert, whether that's a jury member or a judge, has really helped me get ready to do the radio, too.
That's a great answer. That is the voice of Maggie Dawn. You can check out her show here at Civic Media every day. The Maggie Dawn Show, and you will be better for it. I listened to you today complaining about stealing home, the most exciting play in sports, and then I got a phone call.
It really is.
I had no closure, so maybe I could get that from you coming up next. But I also want to ask you what you watch at night, too. I might steer you in that direction and take a load off your plate, too, Maggie. No lawyering or radio, just what you watch on TV. We'll do that next on Nightlight with Peach. Wow, but great to have you with me live from Madison tonight on the Civic Media Radio Network. From the 414, Tom is back on the text line. It says, learned hearts in the Navy. Pardon me, like euchre and sheep's head. You put the S on there too, Luke. There is Trump. How shameful. Yeah, maybe pick a new card game. What do you got against Old Maid, Tom?
I still play it even though there's Trump. It's just...
That was there before he was... It's not even his real name, so, you know. And then checking in on the stream, Sherry... Sorry, Sherry, we missed a couple of your texts. Hi, boys from Horicon. Hi, Sherry. Hope you're safe in the storm. Nothing in Horicon yet. And she says she likes Canasta. I've heard of that. Another game I haven't played. I am so far behind. And Sherry says, hi, Maggie. There we go. Sherry says, hi, Maggie. And Sherry says, great song. She approves. So great to have you with us tonight, as always, Sherry. My guest is Maggie Dawn from The Maggie Dawn Show here on Civic Media. Maggie, before I ask you, before we deviate too far from your show, I know recently, about maybe a month ago now, you went to every day from once a week. What kind of transition, what's that been like for you?
Yeah, so back, this would have been in 2020. Back then, I was just doing a Thursday-Friday show for an hour. And then last June, I started Monday through Thursday for just an hour. And then February 26th was my first full-time day where I was doing 2 hours, 5 days a week. It's totally different.
Okay.
You add hours. And I've been a chronic over-preparer my entire life. And my poor producers. Luke, God bless every one of you. And the load that you bear for me when I'm asking for different things to potentially use in the show, because I want to be sure that I'm trying to give people the best and something that's well-researched and isn't always in my voice. Nobody wants me to read what someone else said if we can actually get the sound of the person saying it. So, it's totally different, Pete.
Yeah, listen, I'm with you. And I've been there where a guest just doesn't show up and it's like, oh, now I have to babble for 15 minutes. And, you know, it's you learn that once, then you're like, okay, now I have that will never happen again. You have stuff prepared, you know, even if I have to throw on a Happy Days episode for 15 minutes, that's we'll have something on the air.
I've got to tell you what card games I like. I feel so like left out if I didn't get on a card game action.
You don't strike me as someone who's not going to speak up like you're doing now. So absolutely share them with us.
So one of my absolute favorites, and I have played more hours of this card game than anything else, largely due to attending law school, because every Sunday my friends and I would go have brunch and then we'd hang out at Paul's Club, sit in one of the front two tables on State Street and play an embarrassing amount of euchre, hours of euchre.
Oh, wow.
Now I have characteristics of perfect games, and perfect games need to have phases, and they also have to enable an incredible amount of smack talk. And euchre is like the perfect coming together of there's ebbs and flows. There's a little bit of luck. There's clearly skill. You know when someone has screwed up. And so it enables really great smack talking. And there's teams. I love the fact that in euchre, you're playing with someone. It was some of my most fondest memories from law school are playing euchre at Paul's Club. And also the Echo Tap. That's if you're listening on WMDX, I have logged hours at the Echo Tap.
That is pretty cool.
I got a
Troy
question
Cox,
for you.
If you're still bartending at the Echo Tap, Maggie Dawn says hi.
There you go. Do you play to 10 or do you play to 15 in euchre?
15.
Okay. Some people 15. I know will only play to 10, and I'm like, this feels like only a portion of a game.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Like, I don't know what's going on right now.
Can I just say, if I could just interject, Your Honor. Luke, first of all, I did not really have a question tonight. Luke lawyered me into going with favorite card game. And why? I know nothing about, I know poker and that's it. And Luke knows every game that's ever, so he has skewed this entire conversation.
Completely Greg Bach, Jane Matinair's fault. They talked about it on the air today. I felt left out, and this is just me.
You go right down the rabbit hole with
me seeking retribution for being left out of that conversation. Oh. That's all.
Oh, well, I'm happy to help you get your revenge. That's great.
Your licks in, right? Well, Pete, I've played some poker in day. I have a terrible poker face, but I enjoy the math of poker and the psychology of it. Played a goodly bit of that as well in law school. Now, I probably shouldn't tell the story, but I should probably tell it because shouldn't, right?
Yes.
So I was often the fill-in for my male friends' poker group.
Okay.
Which meant when I was coming, because one of them couldn't make it, they always had to make sure that my chair was with my back to the porno that they would have on behind me. Man. I mean, it was a complete dude festivus with scotch and cigars. They were throwing down.
Sounds like a Me Too game.
Yeah, like early 2000s. But listen, you play to your opponent's weakness. Keep the porn on if I'm taking 20s from you. Go ahead and be distracted, boys. I'll happily take your money.
And they didn't care until the next day when they're like, oh, man.
Yeah, with the scotch hangover. You know that special hangover that's both scotch and cigar together?
Yes.
And then the shame of me taking dollar bills off of them. It all came together. You know
Do you play Hold'em?
I will on occasion. I enjoy the game where dealers call in what you're doing because
those
it changes
are fun
it up every time.
Yeah. We should.
And I have to thank my dad for that. My dad, blackjack and poker and craps. That's how I learned odds when I was a kid.
Did you learn like in an alley, and did your dad have like an eye patch and a cigar in his mouth and he, come here, Toots, I'm going to teach you how to play cards.
No, my dad's like the anti of that. Oh. He's this incredibly nice, kind man who's like, this will be a really fun way for you to learn mathematics and odds and probability, and off you go.
We should get a civic media poker club or something.
Hey, I'm down for it. Maggie, if you want to challenge the governor to a game of euchre, I would love that. So we can take that's one of my dreams is to play some euchre against Tony Evers right now because I know he plays too.
Governor Evers, if you're listening, I am so down for a little no shop talk, straight crap talk, playing euchre with the gov. I think that's a great
idea. I'll show up. I'll be like the patsy. I'll be the guy that doesn't know.
You can shuffle the cards.
The ringer. Maggie, can you hang for a few more minutes?
If you guys are down, I'm
absolutely
down.
All
here
right.
For it.
Maggie Donna's here. She's coming back. We're coming back. More with Maggie next and John Davies at 820. This is Nightlight with Peach Webba.